This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Donald Trump has promised to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, and Latino Americans have promised to exercise their right to vote in record numbers this November. It is a sign of our times that as the U.S. is becoming a browner country, a white backlash has erupted full force, symbolized by Trump. But Latinos are far from a monolithic group. There's great diversity ethnically, racially, nationally, legally, and politically. Joining me to discuss that is my guest, Michael Jones Correa. He is a professor of government at Cornell University. He is co-author of Latinos in the New Millennium and Latino Lives in America, Making It Home, and the co-editor of Outsiders No More, Models of Immigrant Political Incorporation. He joins us to discuss his new study on Latino voters called Immigrants Inside Politics, Outside Citizenship, which he co-authored with James McCann. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, what can we say about Latino voters? First, just start with the numbers. Obviously, as I said, there's great diversity, but how do you first classify Latino Americans? There are people who are newly immigrated, people who've always been here, some who identify as white, others who don't. How do you count who's a Latino American?
Well, Latino American is basically a very broad term to describe anybody who has some ties or origins in Latin America. So that can include, as you say, people who have been here for eight generations or people who are just very recent arrivals. And among those people, about a quarter of Latinos in the US are currently undocumented, but the vast majority are citizens and are able to participate in electoral politics, and they will be certainly this election cycle.
So how many eligible Latino voters are there so that we can get an idea of their voting power before we get into where they fall politically?
Well, there are about, say, 45 million Latinos in the U.S., and about half are citizens and able to vote.
So old enough to vote. Yeah.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're registered to vote, right?
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
And one of the big issues with Latinos is that even citizens who are eligible to vote, many of them are not registered to vote.
Now, let's talk about the kind of trends that your study finds. First of all, there's obviously the male-female dichotomy. What do we see in terms of voting trends? What do we see in terms of political affiliations between Latino voting males versus females?
So one of the interesting things about, this is true for all voters, that women are actually more likely to engage and participate than men. It's a slight edge for all voters, and this is true as well for Latino voters, that Latino immigrants, in particular, women are more likely to be engaged and involved in politics than men, and where men keep ties to their country of origin and may harbor this idea that they might someday return, but women are much more likely to sort of place their bets on the U.S. and to say, this is where I'm staying, and to engage. Hmm.
So, and what about then political trends between those Latino voters who are newer immigrants to the country versus those who've been here for generations? Do you see any differences there? And also, do you see any trends when you follow the same people as years pass, whether they become more liberal or more conservative?
Yes. So, Latinos as a whole have split historically about 2-1 for the Democratic Party. This is true now going back multiple election cycles back to the 1960s. That trend has persisted even with new immigration. So as new immigrants come in, they also have adopted this general orientation toward the Democratic Party. There's a question about whether with this conversation, this anti-immigrant conversation that's been occurring now around the country, whether that will nudge Latinos and immigrants more generally even further or closer to the Democratic Party.
Right. And let's also talk about this idea that immigrants, people who have come to the United States and gotten their citizenship and are eligible to vote, whether or not they see, see themselves as part of a political process. I mean, we have this idea that Native Americans, and that is a very, flawed term, but white Americans, to put it more bluntly, have somehow some sort of greater sense of patriotism, and immigrants are much more tied to their countries of origin. Does that bear out among Latinos?
Not at all. So this goes back through multiple studies, not just the one that Jay and I did, that finds, particularly on this question about patriotism and attachment, that immigrants are every bit feel as attached and as patriotic as native-born Americans. There's a second aspect of this, which is, are immigrants as likely to be engaged? And this was really what was at the bottom of the questions that Jay and I were asking in our survey. We were interested in how both citizens and non-citizens were engaged in politics and whether there was a difference between the two. What we found was that although non-citizens are obviously not voting and they're somewhat less engaged in voluntary activities, there's still a very high proportion of non-citizens, even being non-citizens, who are in following campaigns, learning from political campaigns, positioning themselves between the two parties, and deeply engaged in all kinds of aspects of American civic voluntarism. So it's not that we have this image that immigrants and non-citizens are somehow standing on the sidelines, but that's absolutely not true. Immigrants and non-citizens are engaged, and in many ways as engaged as citizens.
And let's actually step back for a minute. Tell us what you based your results on. Tell us about the original study, this deep survey, if you will, not study, a survey of Latino Americans that helped you discern these patterns. How long ago was it done? Was it sort of before or after the Trump phenomenon began?
Trump has been around for a while, so there's aspects of Trump which have been with us. But this study was done in 2012 and around the 2012 elections, and so it's pre this election cycle.
The survey was done in 2012, and then your study based on that survey is just coming out.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So we're very much responding to and addressing the questions that are coming up now in this election cycle. So in 2012, there was also a debate around the role of immigrants and undocumented immigrants, where then candidate Romney was suggesting that immigrants should self-deport. So the tenor of the debate was already in place. It's just become sharper and obviously more pointed with Trump as the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party. But this is not new. We were interested in part whether this kind of tenor of the debate would demobilize people or whether it would encourage them to become more active in politics. And what we found again is that even non-citizens who might have instead chosen to remain in the shadows, as it were still active in their communities and participating in a broad array of non-electoral politics.
So one might imagine that perhaps this 2-to-1 split for Latinos voting Democrat versus Republican might be a little bit more skewed towards Democrats. It's possible this election than in 2012, given the Trump factor, or do you feel that those are fairly set in stone?
No, I think these are very much in flux, and it's in flux for two reasons. One, that we have a number of naturalized citizens who have not yet registered, which is what you pointed out earlier. And the second is that we have every year several hundred thousand young Latinos who are born in this country who turn 18 and become eligible to vote. So those two streams are new political actors, and they're making decisions about how to place themselves in politics. Mm-hmm. to orient themselves more to the Democratic Party or to the Republican Party. So in that sense, this kind of debate really does nudge them. And what we see today, people have commented on, it could be similar to what we saw in California in the 1990s, as California itself was debating a set of immigration measures, which political scientists have argued pushed Latinos in California closer to the Republican Party, to the Democratic Party.
Now, I wanted to go back to this question we touched on earlier about the connections, the ties between Latino voters and immigrants in general and this country and the United States. Presidential candidate Donald Trump has in recent weeks been questioning the, allegiance of Mexican-American Judge Curiel because he's Mexican, even though he's American. He was even actually born in the United States. But right. Trump keeps reminding us, well, but, you know, it would only be natural that he would be, that he would have ties to Mexico and not be an impartial judge because of his Mexican-ness. Even Republicans have said that he's sort of following a textbook racist line when he says that. But how did the results of your study kind of prove Trump wrong? And it's quite easy, of course, to prove Trump wrong. But.
So our study finds that, you know, even among non-first-generation Latino immigrants to the U.S., there are these, again, very strong attachments to the United States. And those attachments only become stronger over time. So this particular study did not look at the children of immigrants, like Judge Curiel, but previous work that I've done shows that those attachments become, by the time you're in the second generation, people born in the U.S., they're indistinguishable from other native-born Americans. And so in that sense, you know, Trump is absolutely, completely wrong. People don't maintain these deep-seated attachments to their countries of origin, or more pertinently, to their parents' countries of origin. That over time, these attachments to the United States really solidify. What's happened with Trump's comments is a very high negative ratings among Latinos as a whole. So he has, you know, in modern history, the lowest ratings for any Republican candidate ever among Latinos. So Latino Decisions, which is another survey firm, calculates that those approval ratings for Trump are probably around, say, 12% among Latinos. I'm surprised it's even that high. What Trump is doing is alienating a rapidly growing segment of the electorate.
Now, when we talk about Latino immigrants and voters, language is an important issue. And I want to ask you how Latino eligible voters inform themselves, because we have a very vibrant Spanish language media in this country, and the kind of media one consumes naturally informs one's political persuasions, and so the way in which those media tilt politically might influence Latino voters. What does your study tell us about how Latino voters inform themselves of the political issues?
So these voters, again, in the first generation, are getting as much of their news and information from Spanish language media as English language media, if not more. So as you point out, it's a lot through Spanish language radio, Spanish language TV, like Univision, Telemundo. And these shows and news programs become their view into the world. But they're also contacted in other ways. They learn in other ways through campaign messaging that's directed more generally toward Latinos, through their contacts with family members and friends. One of the things that really distinguishes Latino immigrants is that many, even those who are undocumented, belong in what we call mixed status households.
Right.
households where some of their family members are citizens and are already voting, even if they can't. So there is this real two-way process of information sharing between members of households with different legal statuses.
And is there an age difference that you see or a difference in voting trends based on age among Latino voters? Does it follow sort of the general population's trend where younger voters skew more liberal than older voters?
Yes. So we are seeing, I think, a genuine generational divide across the U.S. electorate between younger and older voters. I think in part that's what's playing out in this election is a kind of generational backlash among older voters and an attempt by younger voters to stake out a different set of position issues. So you see that with Bernie Sanders, for instance, and his supporters. And you certainly see this among Latino voters, where you see a generational split in the Democratic primary between younger voters who were beginning to support Bernie Sanders and older voters who were, solidly in Hillary Clinton's camp. But it's also the case that younger voters, and this is true across all voters, are less likely to turn out and to participate. And so even though you have a growing potential pool of voters who are young Latino voters, young immigrant voters, they have not been fully mobilized.
And we might have seen some of that in the California primary election. There was a lot of youth voter participation expected, and a lot of it just didn't materialize on voting on the day that people are expected to vote. So what do you expect might happen this November if Hillary Clinton is the nominee of the Democratic Party, as it appears likely, if Donald Trump is the nominee, as it appears likely? We're going to see, not as much a left-right split as a center-right split, depending on how you view Hillary Clinton, but essentially the sort of establishment Democratic Party versus non-establishment Republican Party. Do you expect Latino voters to be a very much a deciding force in this election?
So there will be some states where Latino voters are pivotal voters, and I would say those include Florida, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado, Arizona, which I think will be in play really for the first time in several election cycles. And in these states, I think Latinos will be pivotal. There will be lopsided votes, and it might be safer to say that there will be anti-Trump votes, rather than, perhaps more so than even being pro-Hillary votes. But I think that negative impulse will propel a lot of voters to the voting booth.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Michael, for joining us today. Where can people find out about the survey that we've just been discussing? Is there somewhere online they can look up?
Yes, it's on the Russell Sage Foundation website. And you can look up the title of the study there.
And we'll post a link from our website later today. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Michael Jones Correa is a professor of government at Cornell University and co-author of Latinos in the New Millennium and Latino Lives in America, Making It Home, co-editor of Outsiders Know More, Models of Immigrant Political Incorporation. We've been talking about his new study about Latino voters called Immigrants Inside Politics, Outside Citizenship, which he co-authored with James McCann. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.